I'd like to read tonight from John's Gospel chapter 8. John's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 20. Verse 20. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Where I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, in the Bible the word he is in italics, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. I want you to watch what we've read there. Notice that he's speaking to a group of people, Jews mainly, who do not believe in him, nor do they believe on him. Now, there's an important distinction between believing in and believing on. Can I say to you that you might believe in hospitals, but many people don't believe on hospitals. In other words, they don't fully trust hospitals. You might say you believe in banks, but a lot of people say they do not believe on banks. They do not trust banks. So there's a difference in believing in and believing on. And tonight we're trying to bring before you the message of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go now to chapter 13 of John's Gospel. Chapter 13 and verse 33. Little children, he's talking now not to the Jews who did not believe in him. He's talking to the men and women who believed in him and believed on him. He said, Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. Verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where goest thou? Jesus answered him, Where I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Peter meant that. He really did on that occasion. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's our reading tonight, and we trust that God will bless his word. You know, I want to work backwards through these verses. In other words, I want to start off with verse 6 of chapter 14, when the Lord said, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to turn that around, and I realize I'm turning around the words of the Lord, but still they mean the same thing. He said to them, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to think about that, these words. No man cometh unto the Father being God. No man cometh unto the Father. And it doesn't matter who that man or woman or boy or girl is. It's emphatic. No man cometh unto the Father. You see, the Father God is holy. He's righteous. He's just. And as such, we are rebels against him. We're sinners of the deepest dye. And so, because of sin, there is a barrier between us and God. No man cometh unto the Father. And so, it doesn't matter whether we are the new Pope Francis or whether we're the Archbishop of Canterbury, who also is new to that role, or whoever we may be. There's no man cometh unto the Father God. There's a barrier, and that barrier is sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. So that doesn't matter who we are, there's a barrier between us and God. And there's no way of access to God from the human side of things. There's no man can enter into the presence of God. You know, we think about that and we think, how then are we going to ever enter into the heaven of God? And you know, there's an exception clause, isn't there? We've read it. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. There's an exception clause, and how grateful, how thankful we are tonight that there is that exception clause. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, he said on one occasion, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So he is a door. The barrier is there, but there is that door. He is the door. He is the door through the barrier. He is the one who can bring us into the very presence of God. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the exception clause. And we give thanks to God for that. But then, who is this person who claims to have the exception to be able to bring us to God? And of course, we find the answer at the beginning of that verse. The person is none other than I am. I am, he says. And who is I am? Well, he's the all-existent one, the ever-present one. He's the only one who could ever say before Abram was, I am. Abram, who had lived almost nearly 2,000 years before the time of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And yet, he could say, before Abram was, I am. Now, every one of us here tonight, we can each say, I am. Excuse me one minute. Every one of us can say, really, I am. But there's no one here who could have said 100 years ago, I am. No, we were born into this life and we became a living soul. And as such, we then became a person who could say, I am. The very youngest child here tonight can say, I am. And so here is the one who can say, I am. He could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. What life? He is the source of all life. We read in John's Gospel at the very beginning, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And we read how that it was by him all things came into being, we read in the Word of God. So he gave to all things within this world, he gave life. But he's also speaking about the life of God. I am the life of God. And here's the one who is the only one who can give to you and me the life of God through faith in his name. He said, I am the truth. And you know, we live in a world that is indeed abounding in untruth and lies. Even the very ministers of state, you wouldn't trust them. They speak with double tongues. But he is the truth. He stood before Pilate one day, and Pilate said to him, what is truth? And there before Pilate was the very personification, the very embodiment of truth. I am the truth, he said. Then he said, I am the way to God. There is no other way. Remember those words again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's no other way to God except through him. And so, these are lovely words spoken by the Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But as we go back through those verses again, we find out he speaks about himself. He says, I go, he says. He said that in verse 2. He says, I go. He's going to go. Where is he going to go? Well, he says, I'm going to go where you cannot come. He says, I'm going to the Father. And at that particular point in time, they couldn't come to the Father, these disciples. They couldn't come, rather, into the heaven of God. He says, I go to the very presence of the Father. I go. But he says, I go for a purpose. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. A special place, an abiding place. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, many abiding places. I go to prepare a place for you. But then again, he says, not only I go, but he says, I will come again. I will come again. One of the greatest truths of the scripture, one of the greatest promises, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will come again. And surely it's the world's next great event, the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been watching television screens, I'm sure, and watching great events in Rome. A new Pope, Pope Francis, in Canterbury, a new Archbishop of Canterbury. Great scenes and great to-do about these things. But the next great event really is the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. When will that be? It could be tonight. It could be before this meeting finishes. It certainly, indeed, is very, very soon. The signs of the times point to his coming again. He says, I will come again. Why is he coming again? He tells us, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, he was talking to his own. I will come again to receive you unto myself. He's talking to his own. But what if you're not his own? What if you're not one of his followers, one of his disciples, one of his believers? If you're not one of the Christians, then he's not coming for you. He's not coming for you. You will have to be left. You'll have to be left because he's going to come only for those who have faith and trust in him. That's why I began the meeting by saying you can believe in him, but you must believe on him. You must believe on him. You can believe in him as being a historical person. And you could say, well, we know that he lived upon earth nearly 2,000 years ago. But you've got to believe on him. When the Philippian jailer came into that prison, he said, what must I do to be saved? They didn't say, believe in him. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's a big, big difference between believing in and believing on. I do trust that here tonight you will believe on, put your faith and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, at the beginning of our chapter 14, he said, but let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God. Well, I do trust that you do, everybody. I do trust you believe in God. There are many in the world tonight who say there is no such person, no such being. We do not believe in God. And I've used this story before about a person I met in the forces. He was an army padre, and he was interested to talk to me. And he said, what do you believe? I said, well, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, what do you mean by that? I says, there's a difference between believing in the Lord Jesus and believing on the Lord Jesus. What do you mean by that? I said, well, there was a time in my life when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I became a Christian. And I said, if you believe in God, even the very devil believes in God and trembles. Oh, he says, that's not in the Bible. I said, oh, yes, it is. And I had to open up the Bible and show him from James' epistle, where it tells us quite plainly that the devils believe in God and tremble. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's most important. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then we're going back through the verses of the scripture, and he tells them, he says, where I go, you cannot come. No, he was going home. He was going home by the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home, and that's where he was going home, home to the Father, home to heaven. Where I go, you cannot come. But he says to his own, he says, but you will follow me afterwards. You will follow me afterwards. And so, for all those here in this room tonight who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all going home. We're all going home. Sometime we're going home. It may be through the article of death we'll go home, or it may be that we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What about you? He says, where I go, at the moment, you cannot come, but you will follow me afterwards. And I like to think about what Peter said. We sometimes think that Peter was an impetuous man. Maybe he was, but I do believe that Peter said there, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. I think he really meant those words. And you know, that would be a big challenge to each one of us. Would we be prepared to lay down our life for the Lord? I wonder. When I think of some of the martyrs of the past history, would we be prepared to follow them? If we'd been on board the Titanic when it was sinking, would we have said, you go first, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. There was one man who felt like that, and he indeed went around in the sea water telling others to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. No, I'm afraid for perhaps myself and others, we would be clamoring to get into the lifeboats first, knowing that in so doing, we were committing others to the water, to their death. Peter meant that, I'm sure he did. But then in a moment in weakness, when it came to the crucifixion, we know that he denied the Lord 3 times. But how often do we deny the Lord in our own lives? I'm sure we do. I do. We deny him. Not outright denial. I'm not saying so. But denying him in not speaking when we should speak to others about their salvation. So there he was with his own. And he calls them little children. It's a term of affection. How he loved those disciples. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. Let's go back to the Jews in chapter 8, and we read there how that indeed the Lord is, he speaks to them so solemnly. he says to them, then said he unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Then he again further said, I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. What a tragic, solemn statement to make. You shall die in your sins. I would not like to think that anyone here tonight will die in their sins without Christ. Out of Christ, without a Savior. Oh, can it be? But that's what he said on that occasion to those people who were highly religious. Oh, they believed in God. They believed in God. They did not particularly believe on God. If they believed on God, they would have believed on his Son. They believed in God. And how many of the folks around our country in Great Britain believe in God, and they would give him more or less mouth praise, but in their hearts would deny him. He said to them, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Solemn words. And solemn words really to finish a meeting like this, but it doesn't need to be tragic nor solemn. Again, we come back with this appeal saying to you to believe tonight. Believe now. Now is the accepted time. Believe now on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved not only for this life, but for the life yet to come, that life in eternity. Let's pray.